Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
Up first is myself, because Justice Denied, Book 2 in my Seeking Justice series is out this month, so I get to interview myself. So what lie does my heroine believe in this story? Jetta Ainslie believes she can't trust her own judgment, especially when it comes to men. Because of what happened with her previous boyfriend, Jetta believes she'll make a colossal mistake with a man, so she keeps our hero, Seth Whitman, at arm's length. Jetta can't quite believe Seth is who he says he is and presents himself as, and she's terrified she'll make the same mistake she did before, only this time the stakes are higher because she's pregnant. What's a character flaw that my hero, Seth, wants to overcome in this story? My hero believes he's unlovable because of something that happened to him as a child. He very much wants to find a woman to love, but has trouble believing he could be someone a woman could love. Because of his upbringing, he's very reticent to push himself into a relationship with anyone, especially a woman, so he tends to stay in the background and be satisfied with friend-zoning like Jetta does with him. What motivates my villain in this story? Greed and a sense of entitlement. They have felt overlooked and underappreciated, and part of their motivation is to see what they can get away with. Embezzlement is one of those crimes often undetected for months or even years if the person committing the embezzlement is particularly crafty, which is why I decided that would be the initial crime in this story. Of course, they want to keep their identity hidden, so that creates other opportunities to create other crimes in this story. If a real place, what is one thing I changed about the setting to fit the story? My Seeking Justice series is set in Northern Virginia, where I live, so readers might recognize a few landmarks in this tale. But I did have to change some things to fit the story. For example, I added a small cemetery in the middle of a bunch of data center buildings out in Ashburn, Virginia, which most definitely isn't there. But I try to keep most of the roads and retail restaurants the same because I know as a reader how fun it is to think, oh, I've been there, or I know where that is when reading a book set where you live. What was the hardest part of writing this book? Getting the embezzlement and financial stuff right. I am not a numbers person or a math person, so it was really difficult for me to kind of really understand embezzlement at first. But I found a book called Embezzlement, How to Detect, Prevent, and Investigate Pink Collar Crime by Kelly Paxton, and I actually contacted the author through her website, who graciously walked me through a few scenarios about how the embezzlement could work. Of course, any mistakes I've made are mine entirely and not the fault of the author of that book. Finally, I'm going to close my time with you today with, what is Justice Denied's tagline? A father's tarnished legacy drives a daughter to untangle a web of deception with the hope of a photojournalist. Now, I hope you'll enjoy the rest of the March releases that I have in this podcast.
I'm delighted to welcome back Jerusha Agin with her latest romantic suspense, Waylaid. So welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Sarah.
So we're going to start with the heroine. How does she feel about love at the beginning of this story?
Well, because of something bad that happened, the heroine, whose name is Spring, believes her life is essentially over, and she feels that no man will ever love her.
I have a feeling your hero might change your mind. Am I giving anything away?
I hope so. Well, it is a romance, you know, so certain things
have
to happen.
Yeah. I know. And I love that you picked this question. I added some new questions to my quick takes this year, but you're the first one to pick this one. So what's your hero's first reaction? I know, fun, right? What's your hero's first reaction in an emergency situation?
So his first reaction is to protect everyone that he can. He's very protective. But then he second guesses that instinct because he believes that his hero instincts have led to disaster instead of helping people.
Oh, yeah. I can see why that. But I love that. Thank you for picking that one. I thought that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, thank you. So what about your villain? Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
So I always have trouble with answering villain questions because I tend to have like several people that could be classified as villains, and sometimes the villain is a secret. So yeah. I would answer by saying there are several people doing bad things in this book, so there are several villains in that sense, and all the villains in this story love themselves the most, and I think that's why they're villains. That's automatic.
Yeah, selfishness is the root of a lot of crime. That is so true. So true. So now, what about the setting for Waylaid? How does that move your story forward?
Yeah, I was glad you asked this question because much of Waylaid actually takes place inside one setting, which is one particular building. And that location represents so much hurt and trauma for Spring. And then the situation in that building becomes even worse when the danger spikes to a whole new level. So the setting contains the suspense and characters in this tension-filled pot that heats up to a boiling level as it propels the characters to face their biggest fears that are keeping them from God.
Ah, yeah. And I love that we can use settings and kind of create the settings to push them to that place. So that's
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the, it sounds like you have some tough issues in this story, but what is the underlying positive message of the story?
Yeah, Waylaid has several positive messages, and like you're saying, it does deal with a lot of tough issues as well. But one positive message that I was really glad to do a deep dive into is the issue of God's role in suffering. And thanks to the circumstances in this story, the difficult circumstances, I was able to explore how God uses and redeems even the worst case scenarios that he leads us to face. In that sense, then, it's a story full of hope for anyone facing a life with hardships.
Yeah, and I think all of our lives, in some respect, have hardships. So,
right, exactly.
And I love how we can use fiction to, you know, to bring characters through that. And we know from letters and stuff, emails we get from readers that can impact them as well. So thanks for giving us the hope in the story.
For sure,
it's
important to me too.
Yes, yeah. And what's your book's tagline? We're going to end with that question.
Okay, the tagline is, someone wants to kill her. She wants the killer to finish the job.
Ooh, I love that. That's great. All right, so thank you so much for sharing about Waylaid on my show today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to welcome Jane Daly to my show. She's going to talk about her latest release, Lipstick and Gunpowder. So welcome to my show, Jane.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure being here.
So let's talk about your heroine's name. Why did you pick this particular name for her?
I think the name Dale, well, originally it was kind of a joke because the main character's brother hires Dale, and Mark, who's the main character, thinks that he's hired a man to be one of his ranch hands. Instead, he finds out that Dale is a woman, and it blows his whole conception out of the water, and he's extremely angry at his brother, which kind of makes it fun. And I like the name Dale Hardy. It sounds very FBI-ish, and I wanted her to be a strong heroine, even though she's made some mistakes in her career and has kind of been sent on this this assignment that she's hoping will resurrect her career. But as the story unfolds, we see what's really happening.
Ah, great. I love how we can give the names a little more meaning. That's always fun. So what about your hero? What's holding him back from finding love?
Mark thinks that because he came back from the Middle East, he was in the service, he came back disfigured. His face is scarred because he was hit by an IED. And his fiance broke up with him as soon as she saw him. So he thinks, you know, God, I'm just going to be single the rest of my life. No one will ever love me because I look kind of monstrous. And he finds out that that's not necessarily true through meeting Dale Hardy.
Ah, I love it. We give our sub characters their happy endings eventually. Yeah, always fun. So let's switch to the villain, romantic suspense. We have villains. Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
The villain, well, we have a couple of villains. And basically, I find that villains either want money or power. And in this case, they want both. They want power to have their, to be able to do what they want to do, which is pretty nefarious, and to have the money to do it. So they'll pretty much do whatever it takes to get the money they need to get out of the country, because that's kind of their whole thing, is they want to make money and get out.
And that can get you into trouble sometimes.
Always. Always.
Always.
Crime does not pay. Children's
crime
does not pay.
So what about the setting of this story? Why this particular setting?
Well, I have lived most of my life in the Sacramento area, and I have spent a lot of time going up to the Gold Country. It's beautiful up there. There's rolling hills, and it's filled with ranches and vineyards, and it's a really pretty place. There's lakes hidden up there. It's kind of the hidden gem of Northern California. So I wanted to be able to have this on a ranch, and I figured that the little town of Ione was perfect. Not only is it perfectly situated in kind of this rolling hills, beautiful setting, but you've got Lake Amador, and you've got there's a prison up there, which kind of plays a little bit into the story. I won't give you any hints, but just a bit.
Okay, and what about this particular story? What about this particular story made you want to write it?
I love reading romantic suspense. Number one, I love romance. I am all about the happy ending. I have found a happy ending with my sweetie, and I also like reading about women who are strong, women who can be strong, but also be feminine, hence the title, Lipstick and Gunpowder. And because what I like to read is romantic suspense, I decided I was going to dip my toes into the romantic suspense genre after writing books that were a little bit different, a little bit deeper in subjects like human trafficking and abortion and infidelity. And I wanted to write something that would be a little bit lighter, a little bit fun, but still have that romantic suspense, that suspense with, you know, gunfights and chases and, you know, people poisoning animals and things like that.
Yeah, I know. It's one thing I love about the romantic suspense genre myself. It's very versatile. Lots you can
yeah.
do with it. So it makes it a fun story. So we're going to close our short time together today, Jane, with what's one thing you want readers to know about Lipstick and Gunpowder?
There's actually two things, Sarah. One is that there are always second chances. So Dale learns that her second chance of regaining her reputation in the FBI, she gets that, but at a cost. And the second chance is kind of like not exactly what she wanted. And for Mark, his second chance is finding out that even though he had said, God, I'm going to stay single because no one will ever love me, that he found a second chance because Dale falls in love with him. The other, my really overriding theme that I love to write about is redemption. And I think that through this story, I would like the readers to see that no one is beyond redemption and that it is possible for us to experience it no matter what our situation.
I love it. I love always that. That's always a wonderful theme to have. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Next up, I have Kristen Hoegraaff Parnell with her latest romantic suspense, Watch Your Back. So welcome to my show, Kristen.
Thanks so much, Sarah. I'm so happy to be back.
So we're going to start with the heroine. Always like to start with the ladies. What past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today?
Okay, so Avery Reynolds is my heroine, and when she was 7, she watched her dad walk out of her home and out of her life, and then her mom abandoned her about a week later. And so as a result, she is understandably fiercely independent and really doubts that she could ever trust a heavenly father to treat her any differently than her earthly father did. And that's really impacted and shaped who she is today.
What about your hero? What's his biggest regret in this story?
So my hero is Coast Guard veteran Ethan Bridger, and his biggest regret is that he was powerless to save his best friends from an unseen enemy when they were stationed together. And so now he's been honorably discharged with PTSD due to that experience and has joined Semper Security, or security agency, and really does well at his job, but he has essentially written off hope of ever finding love for himself because he doesn't believe anyone could understand and accept him with what he's struggling with.
Oh, yeah, poor thing. I have a feeling that maybe the heroine's going to help him with that.
Maybe.
If they can overcome the villain. So what's motivating your villain in this story?
Okay, so the villain is, his goal is to become Tampa's biggest modern mob boss. And his name is Big Eddie, and he's just obsessed with this almost Napoleon complex, if you will. He's not flashy, you know, modern mob boss, very behind the scenes and covert, but he is also very effective at taking down anyone who crosses his path.
So what about the setting in this story? Why did you pick this particular setting?
Yeah, so each book in my Crossroads Suspense series takes my lead characters to at least 2 settings, one of which is Beech Mountain, North Carolina. And I picked this setting for the whole series because this is such a special place to my family because my husband taught me to ski there, and he proposed nearby. And so it continues to be one of our favorite travel spots when we feel like making the trip with our 2-year-old. But 11 hours is a drive. But a few years ago, we went to a wedding on Beech Mountain at a place called Overlook Barn. And as soon as we were there, I thought, oh, I've got to write this into a story. It was so beautiful. And so, spoiler, there's a wedding in this story. Not to give too much away.
Oh, I love how we can share with our readers sometimes one of some of our favorite spots do that. So what was the hardest part of writing this story?
Well, I already mentioned we have a 2-year-old, and so the hardest part was simply finding the time to write. My son was 1 when this book was due to my publisher, and he hit sleep regressions. He caught every cold in the nursery, and I just didn't know if I was going to finish, but I did by God's grace, and thanks to my supportive husband, and here we are today. Ironically, he's now going through more transitions and not sleeping great. So this book has just been a labor of love, but I'm really, really excited for it to be in readers' hands.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you were sharing with us today. So tell us, we're going to close our time together, Kristen, with tell us what your book's tagline.
It's quite simple. It's, you can't watch your own back.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Watch Your Back.
Thank you so much for asking me about it. I really enjoy being back here on your podcast.
I'm delighted to welcome back Laura Conaway to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Rescue Duty. So welcome back to my show, Laura.
Hey, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
I love that you picked this question. You're my first one to pick this question, so I'm really excited about it. What does your heroine keep hidden from everyone in this story?
Oh, this was such a fun question to answer. So the pivotal moment that my heroine Nea keeps hidden is the death of her brother, which ends up propelling her forward to find an exposed truth and why she's an investigative reporter, because she wants to give her brother and others who don't have a voice, the voice that they need.
Ah, I love that. That's so cool. Yeah. And then you also picked another one for your hero that no one's picked yet, because I added some new questions this year, so I'm all excited. This will be fun. So if your hero could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, yes. If he was going to have a superpower, it would be that he could be in more places than one at a time. Because he feels like he has this need to, this desire to save people. And, you know, he can't be in more than one place at once. And when there are multiple people who need his help and who need saving, he would want to be able to be in all those places.
Ah, I love that. That would be kind of a cool superpower. Yeah, I think I could get on board with that one. So we're going to talk about your villain next. How does your villain unwind?
Yeah, so my villain, they unwind by honestly just like planning for their next thing. They feel this almost like peace and preparedness in knowing what's coming next in their plan. And so at the end of the day, they feel like they need to have everything ready for what's happening on the next day and how they're going to execute their plan.
Ah, yeah, well. It takes all kinds, I guess. That doesn't seem like very unwindy to me. But, you know, hey, I'm not your villain, so this is a good thing. So what about the setting of your story? How does it move your story forward?
Yeah, so the setting plays a crucial role in the story because someone is poisoning the town water and is ending up causing hospitalizations and death of so many innocent people in the town. And so in order to save these people and to stop the killer, they need to figure out what's going on with this. And without the setting, there would be no crime because it's involving the whole town.
Yeah. I like that. That's an interesting way to kill people. The water.
Yeah.
So what was the hardest part of writing Rescue Duty for you?
Yeah, so with writing this book, there were a lot of difficult parts with making sure that the technical details were correct. So with this story, and even just with the way that the killer is going about his schemes, is there's hazmats involved, there's a chemical plant, and so with that, there's just a lot of technicalities. And so I had the privilege of getting to speak with a local hazmat special ops person who helped me just understand the lingo, different protocols, and even just common scenarios in this world that I, like, know nothing about.
Oh, yes. Most readers, they don't really guess how much research that we have to do if we're not writing historical fiction. They seem to forget that us romantic suspense people have to just ask a lot of questions of a lot of people so that we can get our scenarios as true to life as possible. So, yeah, that must have been kind of fun in a weird way.
It was, yeah.
All right, Laura, well, we're almost out of time today, but let's close with what's one thing you want readers to know about Rescue Duty?
Yeah, so not only do I hope that readers enjoy this edge-of-your-seat suspense, but I hope that they're able to see the theme of God's family on the page of the story and truly what it means for every people from every tribe and even from every family background to be invited into God's family. And readers will see this on the page with my heroine being from Haiti, and both her and my hero grew up in foster care. And one of the things in this story is that they both wear these red bracelets that readers will see are intertwined throughout the whole plot. And I pray that they're able to see that this symbolism is pointing them closer to the blood of Christ that brings people from all ethnicities, all backgrounds, into the family of God.
Ah, I love that. That's why I love writing and reading Christian romantic suspense. So thank you so much for sharing about your book today.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
My next guest is Lynn H. Blackburn, here to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Break My Fall. So welcome back to my show, Lynn.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about your heroine. What did she want to be when she grew up, and did she become that person in this story?
Yes, well, you don't get a lot of dentists in fiction, and I wanted to change that. I have several friends who are dentists, and Meredith always wanted to be a dentist, and yeah, she did. She became one, and it is a perfect fit for her personality and for the way she wants to help people, and I had a lot of fun doing that. I'll be curious to see how readers feel. I have a few who are deathly afraid of the dentist, and I promise she will. There's no drilling involved. You know, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I love my dentist. She's like wonderful. So I'm glad you made your heroine a dentist, because yeah, yay for the dentist.
Yay for all the dentists. Well, I have several friends who are dentists. So I'm like, let's give them their moment to shine. So
yeah, definitely. I love that. So what about your hero? What's his greatest fear in this book?
In this book, this hero has had some really significant losses, and so his greatest fear is that any woman he loves is going to die. And he's convinced that he wouldn't survive it again, and the best way to handle that is to just not fall in love, which, of course, is problematic in a romantic suspense.
yes, because there's that romance.
I have to convince
romance.
Him otherwise. Yes. We need
there's
some romance.
There's a romance
but
part of it.
I hated being so mean to him, but I did give him a pretty tragic backstory, and he's very nervous about that whole idea. So
yeah.
His
wow.
biggest fear is pretty dark, and Meredith is all light. So they're a good combination.
Yeah. The dentist is going to prevail.
Yes,
we know that
she is.
Oh, I love this. All right, so let's switch to your villain. Who or what does your villain love the most in this story? What's motivating your villain?
Definitely power and control. They want to be in charge. They want to control everything around them. They want to have the power. Very much a. I don't want to say too. That's a tricky one to answer because I'm.
I know.
Tell you, but don't give anything away. So yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Power, mostly power, and being able to control. Those two are very closely linked anyway. You know, a lot of times power is about control, really. And
right.
If you have the power, you control the search. You know, you want to be able to control your situation, and that's
what they're
doing.
And it can get you in trouble, too.
Oh, so much. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I think this is set in your fictitious town that you made up. So how does your setting move the story forward?
Well, I set this in a fictional town called Gossamer Falls, and my readers are already, even after just one book and a novella, they love Gossamer Falls. They wish it was a real place. They'd like to live there. It's the quintessential small town that is good and wonderful, and it borders on another fictional county, Neeson County, that is as dark as Gossamer Falls is light. And Meredith is very altruistic and she does charity work in that county, and so her bringing the light is there. The darkness is coming after her, and thankfully we know that the darkness doesn't prevail, but it is definitely a darker place, and the setting is the contrast of the two, of Gossamer County and Neeson County, is a big part of the contrast of what's going on in these people's lives.
Yeah, and I think we've all can relate to that, Lynn, because we all know places where, hey, this is really great, and then just right next to it, oh, this is not such a great setting or
yes,
area
absolutely.
Of a city or
town,
things like
you
that.
Can,
yeah,
you can go a couple of blocks and go, oh, no, I'm not in a good place. So, yeah, it's definitely It's realistic from that perspective, but they are both fictional places, unfortunately.
Yeah. Fictional towns. Yes, I use them frequently myself. Love the fictional towns. So what about this story made you want to write this particular story?
Well, I loved the idea of having the girl who is universally loved. You know, she grew up in this town. She was a good girl. Her family adores her. The people in the town adore her. She can make children happy to go to the dentist. You know, she's just, everyone loves her. And, of course, she's going to fall in love with a man who's too broken to return that love. And so she's not used to rejection and not used to handling that. And not also not interested in taking no for an answer either. And so she has to decide if she's going to just accept it or fight for him. And of course, for him, it's a bit of a shock that this woman doesn't just, you know, take his surly nature and walk away. And so they were a sweet couple. They were fun to write.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it's going to be a very, very exciting book with a unnamed villain and prickly hero and dentist heroine. I love it. got some really good feels in there, like the kids say. So we're going to close our short time together with what is the tagline for Break My Fall?
Well, it actually has two. One is more focused on the romance because I do love the romance part. So that's the idea that she's a force of nature and he's falling fast. And we did think about falling fast as the title of the book. For a while, that was a possibility. But the one that's more focused on suspense is that she's determined to make an impact in her community. He's determined to make sure she lives long enough to do it.
Ah, both of them are great. Well, wow. Little shivers. I love that. Books are wonderful. love to hear about them. So thank you so much for sharing about Break My Fall today.
Thank you for having me. I love being here. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.